Acts chapter 2. We've been now here 16 weeks. It seems like a day. For I have another 16 weeks, but we will move on. Oh, boy, we've been looking at verse 42, where it says, "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer." And we saw last week, it says, "Then fear came upon every soul." When did fear come upon every soul? When they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayer. Then fear came upon. We saw the sense of awe gripped every soul. And it says, "And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." That part of fellowship we saw there in verse 44. The part of fellowship is that the word for fellowship is koinonia. And the word there in verse 44, the word common there, they had all things in common, is the word koina in the Greek. They're the same root word there, koinonia and koina. They're words that speak of sharing. As we can see there in the context, it's caring. It's they took care of the needs of those around them. So continuing daily, verse 46, "In one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." Again, Luke here is summarizing the early days, the early years of the early church. And then he says this last phrase, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." That's what I would like to look at here with you today. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The beautiful thing here is that it's the Lord adding to the church those who are being saved. You know, that is truly a mark of revival. And we talked about that last week. We talked about two things that will mark a true, genuine, biblical revival. And that is, number one, saints sanctified. Saints sanctified. Christians will be set apart. They'll be sanctified. Number two, it will be sinners saved. And truly, that's what it is. But there's something that catches my attention here that I think ought to catch ours, and that is that the Lord is the one that's adding to the church daily those who are being saved. Even as we saw last week, "And fear came upon all." The fear of God came upon all that were there. The fear came upon them. And that was a result of them continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. It was a result of them continuing steadfast in communion and fellowship with one another and sharing with one another and caring for one another. It was also because they continued steadfast in prayer. When these things were a daily practice of the early church, then fear came upon them. And can I take it a step farther again? When these things were a daily practice of the early church, then the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Why? Because the Lord adds, but the Lord only adds when the church shares. And that's important for us to understand. And as we come to the close, really, of this section of looking at the summary of the early church and move on now into some real exciting passages in the book of Acts as we look at the narrative and see different stories and miracles and people getting saved, it's neat to see and understand that the Lord is the one who's doing the work. We need to understand that. You know, our job as a church is to preach the gospel, isn't it? Our job is to share the word, but understanding that in that job, we're not called to convert. You know, I can't convert a soul. Only the Lord. Only God can convert. My job is to share. My job is to preach. And I love how Luke sums it up. "And the Lord's work was going on. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And the Lord was saving souls. It was the work of the Lord. You know, truly, this is the work of the move of the Spirit of God. One of the things that is going to identify a revival in our midst, a revival in the church, whether it's a local church or abroad, is people are getting saved. That people are coming to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I don't understand. I mean, I don't know if we understand how important this is. Now, if you've been studying the Bible for any time, you come across some really powerful passages of Scripture when it deals with the salvation of man. And a lot of those passages of Scripture are the passages dealing with sovereignty, God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty is an absolute wonderful thing. I love God's sovereignty. In fact, it causes me to preach harder. It doesn't cause me to draw back in preaching. It causes me to go forward in preaching. Because, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but anytime I share with people, sometimes I think, you know, this is doing nothing. These people aren't listening to me. They don't want to hear me. They don't care. And they're as hard as a rock. They're as blind as a bat. And, you know, and you go on. It's just, you feel like you're talking to a wall. But see, the thing you've got to understand, the thing I've got to understand is it's not my job to convert man. That's not my calling. And if I think that's my calling, I'm going to get very discouraged in my witness. I'm going to say, man, I've shared, and nobody comes to Christ. Nobody repents. First and foremost, what we must understand is that man will never see his need for Jesus Christ until the work of God, or until the work of the Spirit of God comes upon him. This is why Jesus said to his disciples, after giving them a commission, he gave them a commission, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, Matthew chapter 28. Verse 16, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he says, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That's an incredible commission. In fact, that's almost a calling, isn't it? It's almost, if you would, a responsibility that is given to us as a people of God. And that's exactly what it is. Jesus gave the disciples the gospel. And he says, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. And right before he ascended into heaven, he uttered these words as well. He said that there's a promise of the Father that's going to come upon you. And then he tells them, but to tarry in Jerusalem until this happens. And he says, for John indeed, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, for John indeed, or verse 5, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And they said, Lord, is it at this time, or are you going to restore the kingdom? They didn't hear a thing he said. They didn't hear, let me tell you, they didn't hear a thing he said. They said, Lord, and now are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Jesus said, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but, and there's the key word, but you shall receive power. They were looking for physical ruling power over the Romans. They were looking for the power that they once had politically. And Jesus says, but you shall receive spiritual power. But you shall receive power when the Holy... You're looking for power? Let me tell you where you're going to find it. You're not going to find it overthrowing the Romans. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This is the commission he gave. But he didn't just give a burden, but he gave the power to fulfill it. And for a lot of us, we simply lack the power to fulfill the calling that's on us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, there in verse 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, we spent 4 weeks talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You call it what you may, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the coming upon of the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. We talked about it. We saw clearly in the book of Acts, 4 weeks, we saw, as we examined this word throughout the entire Bible, we saw that it was an anointing, exactly what Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that the Spirit has come upon me to anoint me to preach the gospel. That is what the purpose of the baptism with the Holy Spirit is. That's what Jesus said, that you shall receive power, dunamis, there will be a dynamic ability, a supernatural power in you to be a witness of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There is going to be a working of God's Spirit on you. Brothers and sisters, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit of God? Have you received the power to be a witness? And can I say, it's a continual thing. It's not a one-time thing. And we saw that in Acts. And I don't need to go through it again. If you want, in the bookstore, I believe we still have some of the tape series, The Baptism with the Spirit, and you do need to study this thing out. But here's the point. The point is the church was filled with the Spirit. There was a dynamic. There was an anointing upon the church. For what reason? For one reason, and one reason only. To bring the gospel ultimately to the ends of the earth. That was the calling. There was a burden upon them. Now, brothers and sisters, what we need to understand is that God is absolutely 100% sovereign. I understand, according to Paul, that man before he comes to Christ was chosen by God from the foundations of the earth. I understand, according to Paul, the apostle, that before a man came to Christ, that he was predetermined to be a child of God. These are the things that sometimes trip people up in their evangelism, in their urgency, in their hearts burning for the lost and having an urgency. But what we need to understand, and I think it's so important, and I pray we think about this morning, wherever you are, I hope you believe in the sovereignty of God. I hope you're glad that you're elect, a child of God, chosen from the foundations of the earth. If you don't understand that, I pray that you would continue to study the Word of God, pick up some of our tapes that we did on those sections, because how important that is. The security that we have today as Christians, knowing that God is for us, who can be against us? There's no greater strength there. But at the same time, what we need to understand is, how did we come to Christ? How did we come to Christ? Did we come to Christ just by God revealing Himself to us in our room somewhere, or God doing something? Listen, every one of us came to Christ because somebody was praying for us and because somebody took time to witness to us. Maybe not right at the time they shared, but they planted a seed. The gospel went out. Brothers and sisters, God is absolutely 100% sovereign. And in His sovereignty, He has chosen to give the church the opportunity, and if you would, the obligation, to take the good news to the ends of the earth. Jesus Christ gave it to us. And He said, that's how I'm going to bring man to salvation. They shall be saved in no other name but in the name of Jesus Christ, Peter says there in Acts chapter 4. There's no other name given amongst men that one must be saved but the name of Jesus. There's no other way. In fact, Paul says, now think with me, Paul talking about this sovereignty, he's talking about in Romans chapter 9, God's ability to choose, God's ability to do whatever God wants. He goes into Romans chapter 10, and in Romans chapter 10, there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, he says, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls. And then he says, and how shall they call unless they hear? And how shall they hear unless one preaches? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news. And he goes on to say, but they have not all believed our report, as Isaiah said. And then he says in faith, verse 17, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Interesting. Brothers and sisters, I ask us this question as we contemplate this passage where it says here that the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. How did the Lord add to the church? Did the Lord add to the church by His sovereign hand? Yes. Did the Lord add to the church by the move of the Spirit? Yes. Were they in the midst of revival? Yes. How did the Lord add to the church? Practically, what was going on? What was the early church involved in to see the adding to the church? Witness. We went through Acts. We looked at the word witness there in our baptism and Holy Spirit study. All the way through Acts. These people were proclaiming the gospel even as Jesus told them to. Brothers and sisters, hear this and understand this. And I don't care where you stand in your theology. It is as clear as day in the Bible. If we don't preach the gospel, they will not hear, they will not believe, and they will not be saved. Period. There is, let me say it this way, an obligation upon the church to preach the gospel. God has chosen no other way to bring the gospel to man but through His people. Now that's God's choice. When I think about that, sometimes I think, what? Lord, I mean, couldn't you have done it a different way? Sure He could have, but He didn't. He chose to take sinners like you and I, fellow sinners, just like the world, and He's chose to open our eyes and to give us the good news. And then He said, now go and preach to every creature. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that we have passed this off many times to somebody else's job. Or we have looked at it and said, well, God is sovereign and in the end it will all work out. Listen, that was not the attitude of the man that talked about God's sovereignty more than anybody else in all the Bible. His name was the Apostle Paul. That was not Paul's attitude. Paul didn't have the attitude, well, you know, Maybe somebody else can do it. Or, you know, God's sovereign, it'll all work out. Listen, if your theology of God's sovereignty is bringing you to the point of saying, it's all going to work out, God's sovereign anyway, and He doesn't need me. It's true, He doesn't need you, but He chose you. Okay? And He's commissioned you. And He's given you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to see the Lord add to the church, you ask yourself, why isn't the Lord adding to the church daily those who are being saved? Now, can I say the Lord is adding to our church? And it's awesome to see when God adds, and I'm not talking about numbers going into the prayer room, but I'm talking about people being changed. It's wonderful to see when people's eyes are open and their lives are transformed and God does a work in them. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's exciting. But there's one thing that when I see it, I say, there should be more of that. In the early church, it was daily. Why was it daily? Because the people were preaching daily. Because they were praying daily. Because they were continuing steadfast in the Word of God daily. Listen, as we look at the Scriptures, we're going to have to understand that there's something in the Scriptures that is called the plan of redemption. It's from Genesis to Revelation. It's called the heart of God. As God saw man and God saw that man was going to sin, God began to make a plan for redemption even before He created man, and that was He was going to send His only begotten Son to give His life for mankind. Listen, when I think about the gospel, when I think about the burden that ought to be in my heart to preach the gospel, not here in church, but amongst the unbelievers. Sometimes I get discouraged. Do you do that? Sometimes I think, oh, another burden. You said it's an obligation, Trent. Another burden laid upon me. What more? I can't do anymore. I got to pray. I've got to read my Bible. Now I got to preach. Now I feel, you know, oh, I'm guilty because I don't do this and that. And so many times it's just another burden. But listen, understand this. If you and I want to have the heart of God, do you want the heart of God? Who in here says, Lord, I want a heart after your own heart? Who in here? You say, I want the heart of God. You guys with me? You guys want that? Oh, God says, you want my heart? You go, okay, come on in. I want to show it to you. My heart's broken. My heart hurts. My heart's burdened. And Jesus revealed the heart of God to us. And when He came, Jesus came. And it says that Jesus was moved with compassion because when He looked at the multitudes, He said, they are sheep without a shepherd. In Matthew chapter 9 there towards the end. And Jesus was moved. And what did Jesus do? He told His disciples, He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And then that's what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 10, He begins the next phrase. And He chose out 70 and He sent them. Listen, and understand this. If I want to have the heart of God, I'm going to have to be willing to suffer a little bit with a broken heart. I'm going to have to be willing to allow God to shape and mold my heart into His heart. Because God's heart is burdened for the lost. How do I know that? Well, it's very obvious. That's why Christ came. God said, I'm going to suffer that they might live. I'm going to give my only begotten Son that they might live forever. I'm going to give up everything that they might have everything. Understand this, brothers and sisters. We can't go on living in our lives thinking, well, you know, hey, don't get too heavy on me. You know, my life's doing okay right now. And I don't need any more, problems. I don't need any more burdens. Listen, where we're going to find the heart of God is in prayer and studying the Word with a view to obey it. How? Continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. What is that? Continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine is continuing to do that which we read. I would challenge us to examine the New Testament and look and see if the Bible doesn't truly teach that the church has a burden laid upon them to bring the gospel to the world. I challenge you to see if that's not what the Bible teaches is clear as day. You say, well, you know, it's not a burden to follow the Lord. You're right, it's not. It's a joy. But you're going to have to get your heart in line with Him to experience that joy. You're going to have to get your heart and your soul in line with the Lord. And that is through aligning yourself to obedience to the Word and secondly through prayer. As they continued steadfast in prayer. I'll tell you what, if you say, you know what, I don't have a burden for the lost. And I'm going to show you in a minute what that means. I don't have a burden. I don't have a passion in my heart for the lost. Listen, you begin to pray for the lost. You begin to study the Word. You begin to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to surrender your Word. You begin to pray for your family members who do not know Jesus Christ. You begin to pray for your coworkers who do not know Jesus Christ. And you're going to find that you are going to get a burden for the lost like you've never known. And you know what? It's going to cause you to have a little bit of pain. It's going to cause you to have to weep a little bit. That's what a burden's all about. It's going to cause you to agonize and soul a little bit over the lost. That's what I mean by a burden. Now let's think for a minute this man named Paul the Apostle. This man, Paul the Apostle, the man that taught on God's sovereignty, the man that taught on the election and predestination and all of these wonderful, wonderful things. Listen to what he says. Turn with me to the book of Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. I want us to see this because I think this is key and hugely important. In Romans 1, it says this. And I pick it up in Romans chapter 1, in verse 14. Paul says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Verse 15. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Listen to what Paul says. He says a phrase three times here. He says, I am. Three things that Paul is ready for. Three things that Paul understands. He says, number one, verse 14, I am a debtor. I am a debtor. Brothers and sisters, what does that mean? Paul says, I'm a debtor both to Jew or both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Paul is saying, I am in debt. Hear it. You want to talk about burden? You want to talk about Paul the Apostle would put it in this phrase. He says, I owe it to mankind to bring them the gospel. I'm in debt to them. I have a debt that is upon me. This is somebody that is in line with the heart of God. This is somebody who believes that God is sovereign and that God needs to draw men before they're going to come, that God has to open their eyes, that God has to resurrect them spiritually from the dead. This is somebody who understands the wonderful working of God's Spirit. And I'll tell you what, when I pray with my eyes on that sovereign hand. This is my prayer. Lord, turn their heart. And I say, you know what that means. You see, the Lord knows what I mean. Man, I know that God, He can put His finger on somebody's heart and just turn it. And they were blind and now they see, and light floods their soul and there's conviction upon them. This is when the Lord adds to the church. When you're witnessing, do you feel like, man, I wish that would happen? That somehow you'd be talking to somebody, all of a sudden they just go, you can tell, the Holy Spirit, what are you praying? Pray for anointing, for the baptism of the Spirit, for power, for a boldness, for an ability to communicate the gospel. And as Paul the Apostle says, we didn't bring you the gospel in word only, but also in power. In power. That there would be power in our preaching. There would be power in our sharing because there was power in our prayer. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to see the Lord add to the church daily, we're going to need to line our heart with God like Paul the Apostle did, where he said, I'm in debt. I first must see that there is an absolute, I owe it to my fellow man to bring them the gospel. They're dying. They're going to hell. Here I am in the church this morning. Here I am reading my Bible. Here I am sitting. Here we are singing and praising and worshiping. Here we are. We are as free as it gets. Even though you might have problems, even though you might even have sin, the grace of God is covering it and you know it. And you're loving the Lord and blessing the Lord. Here we are. We got our journals open. God's speaking to us. We're writing it. Oh, we got communion with Almighty God. And here they go, blind, dead, on their way to hell. And there we go, out of church with our mouth shut. We're in debt. Isn't it only logical? Isn't it only right that we owe it to mankind? That we owe it to them to bring them the good news of Jesus Christ? They are dying and on their way to hell. What stops me? The fear of man. What stops? I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of the gospel. How do you not be ashamed of the gospel? Well, number one, we're going to see it in verse 16. Number one, you've got to understand you're in debt with the gospel to preach it. You owe it to man to give him the opportunity. God has called you. It's just a debt. I owe this. I owe it to mankind to bring him the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, we might not like that or not. We might say, oh, I don't like that. It's not an issue of what fits into my life. It's an issue of what God has said and the reality. Hear me. The reality of heaven and hell. It is real. It's not a joke. Although it might, we don't have to think hell's really real because we don't have to go there. We don't have to think about it. It is a reality. Judgment is coming. And Jesus Christ gave the church the gospel. And if we're not going to speak it, nobody's going to. And how is the Lord going to add to the church daily? How are people going to be saved unless the gospel goes out? Paul said it's not. They're not going to be saved unless they hear. They're not going to hear unless someone preaches. That's it. That's a fact. And Paul's heart is broken. He says, I'm indebted to all men. I'm indebted. And secondly, in verse 15, he says, and I'm ready. What's he ready to do? He says, and I'm ready to preach the gospel. You know what? When you understand that you're indebted, when you look at your fellow man, and you look at them and you know, man, this guy is going to go to hell. This girl is going to go to hell if they don't repent. Their life is going, they think it's miserable. Now, it's good. You know it. They don't. You know it to be true. And when I understand, it is my responsibility. Let's call it what it is. It is my responsibility to share that with them. God has opened my eyes. God has given me His Word. And He has told me clearly. You don't need great interpreting skills for this one. He said, go to all and preach the gospel. I will fill you. I will baptize you. I will come upon you. I will anoint you for the task. When we cry out, oh God, fill us. Why? Why? Why are we crying out, oh God, fill us? Are we saying, oh God, fill us that we might be witnesses to the ends of the earth? Because He will. But if we're going, oh God, fill me because I like you. Because I like to feel good. Lord, fill us so we can hear a great prophecy tonight. Lord, fill us so we can have a neat afterglow. Forget our afterglows. Fill us so that we can be filled with the living God so that the world might see Jesus Christ is the Lord of creation and He is the Savior of mankind. Fill us with Your heart, O God, and give us the boldness to carry the Word to the ends of the earth. Oh, you bet God's going to fill you. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to go, I don't know if I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't need to worry about it. Paul says, I'm in debt. I'm in debt to preach the gospel, and I'm ready. I've thought through this. I'm ready now. That's it. Man, I owe it to them. They're getting what? I'm going to pay off my debts. I'm going to give it to them. And when you understand you're in debt, and you become ready of heart, and again, that's in prayer, and searching the Scriptures, and getting real with God, you say, well, I just forget. I just don't do it. I get too busy. Spend time in prayer. Again, beseech the throne of God for the lost. Cry out to God for the lost. Get on your face and say, oh God, I don't have a heart for them. Give me a heart. Lord, they're going to hell and I don't even care. Lord, help me. You can guarantee that your heart's going to get aligned with God's heart and you're going to be able to say, I'm ready. And you're going to go out with a whole new mind. And then you're going to be able to say with Paul, the third, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because I've been with God and He has shown me my responsibility and I've been with God and He has readied my heart and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is, hear it, because it is the power of God to salvation. It is. It is that vehicle God sovereignly chose to get man saved. It, Paul says, it is the power of God to salvation. God gave you the power to see another sinner saved. Give it to him. Give him the power. Give him the power. Give him the power to salvation for everyone who believes. Again, as I go and do this, it's not my job to convert them. It's my job to proclaim the message. To blow the trumpet. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see it with your own eyes. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul says, there in verse 26, listen to this. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. Listen to this. For necessity, hear it. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, for necessity. Guys, hear it. He says, I got nothing to boast of. Why? Because I'm a debtor. I got nothing to boast of. Necessity. There's a necessity that is, hear the word, is laid upon me. There's a heaviness. There's a debt upon me. And he says, and woe is me if I don't preach. Here's the guy that believes in the sovereignty of God. Here's the guy that says that God chooses, that God's elect. Here's the guy that understands this. And you know what else he says? As he talks about the sovereignty of God in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, he says, all the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments. I can't figure them out. He knows more about them than any of us. He didn't receive divine revelation of the gospel. He says his judgments are unsearchable, and his ways are past finding out. The two ways God judges man, heaven or hell, they're past finding out. The ways of God, they're past finding out. And he says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? Who was first given to God that God should repay him? He says, no, to him, through him, and for him are all things to him. Amen. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Listen, I don't know how it all works. I know God's sovereign. I have no doubt about that. I know that I've been chosen, and I'm so thankful for that. I know I'm secure in Jesus Christ. I know I'm sealed for the day of redemption. I'm blessed and thankful, and I worship God for all of those things. But I also know this. God has called me. He's laid a necessity upon me. I'm in debt to all men. I know this, that if they don't hear, they won't be saved. And if I don't preach, they won't hear. And I know this. God's called us to it. And therefore necessity is laid upon me. And woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Brothers and sisters, again, I'm not sharing with us another burden, another thing to add to our list. We've got to wake up. We've got to see, wait a second, it's not about me. It's not about me being burdened again or me having to be put out of my comfort zone again. It's about people, and it's about heaven and hell. It's about people. It's about the Lord saying, listen, church, why doesn't the Lord just rapture us right now? Well, according to the Bible, I can only find one reason why he doesn't rapture us right now. There's only one reason. And that's because he's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the only reason I can find in all the Bible. There's one reason God hasn't raptured his church. It's because there's people we want to see saved. This is the heart of God. Well, why? Why live your life? I mean, why all the trials you have to go through? Why all the pain? Why all the financial trouble? Why all the situations? Why all of the emotions? Why everything? Why do we have to go through all this? If God's so loving, God's so caring, why? Because God says, I'm going to use you, church, to bring other people to heaven before I take you to heaven. Church, there's one reason we live, and that's to be a light in the midst of darkness. A city set on the hill that cannot be hidden. Church, there's only one reason that we're alive, and that is, and hear it clearly, to be a witness to the ends of the earth. Whether that's here or abroad, it's that. Therefore, number one, of necessity, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Of necessity. And we need to understand that we have a calling to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. I don't care where you stand in your theology, you cannot get away from this. If you might be a Calvinist this morning and you hold to the strong teachings of the sovereignty of God, you can't get away from this. The man that taught it, Paul the Apostle, said these things. He said more too. Look at the book of Acts with me in Acts chapter 18. There's two phrases I want to look at in Acts 18 and Acts 20. They're striking phrases, and they're found from the Old Testament. And I want to go there and look at these. Look at this. Acts chapter 18, Paul comes to the city of Corinth. He's preaching the gospel there, and it says in verse 6, but when they oppressed him and blasphemed, he shook off his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean, for now I go to the Gentiles. We pass by that. That's a neat thing. And we keep reading. Well, wait, let's stop. Let's think for a minute. What did he say? He said he shook off his garments. And he says, quote, this is what the Apostle Paul said. As Luke's recording his words, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. What do you mean? clean blood upon your own head. What are you talking about? Your blood be upon your own. I'm clean. From now on, I go to the Gentiles. Look, we find it again. Chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 26. Again, Paul, quoting Paul the Apostle. Paul says to the elders of Ephesus, he says, "Therefore I testify this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." What? Innocent? Innocent of the blood of all? What are you talking about, Paul? Well, you're saved, right? What do you mean? Innocent of the blood of the blood? Paul wasn't a warrior. I mean, Paul didn't, you know, fight physical battles. No. He's talking spiritually. "I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Listen to this. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." And I want you to note again. It's not that Paul says, "I convert man," but Paul says, "I am the trumpet of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Blow the trumpet. A herald. He says, I've shared it with you, Acts 18, verse 6, to the Jews. And now I shake off my garments. You choose to blaspheme, reject. Hey, I am clean. Your blood be upon your own heads. Your blood be upon your own heads. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, here he says, "Hey, I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I have not avoided. I have not been ashamed. I have not gone back. I have given you the gospel. You do with it what you may, but I'm innocent." There's obligation. There's a debt, and he understands that. You see, Paul was a good Jew. Paul took this from some Old Testament passage. I want to look at that one. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33. Because this passage is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Remember the phrase, "that I am clean, your blood be upon your own head." Remember that from there in Acts chapter 18, verse 6. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1, we want to look at. And he says, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me." Came to who? Came to Ezekiel. "Saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him a watchman." Listen to this idea of a watchman. "When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, that whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, listen, his blood shall be on his own head." His blood shall be upon his own head. He hears the sound, verse 5, of the trumpet and does not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning, listen, will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquities. Listen, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made as a watchman over the house of Israel. Now notice what God has just done. God has taken a common illustration in their day, and he's going to bring spiritual application to it. Listen, I'm going to Sudan on Tuesday. We're going to go up there, and the compound that we are on is in threat continually by the bombs from these Antonov aircrafts as they come over and they drop bombs on the city. Our base is a military base. It's a prime target. They're a watchman. Now when I go to sleep at night, I am entrusting my life into the hands of the watchman. If that watchman sounds the alarm, Antonov are here, there's a bomb shelter that I can flee to. I have the choice at that point to go to the bomb shelter or say, "Oh, no big deal. It won't hit me and I can stay there in bed." Now, I might be lazy and I might like sleep, but I can guarantee you I'm getting out of that bed. Because I know the threat of danger coming. But if that watchman chooses to say, "You know what? I'm too scared myself. I'm going to run to the bomb shelter and I'm not going to sound the alarm." Whose blood, my blood, that will be shed, Who will be required for it? It will be upon that watchman's hand. Now, isn't that only logical? Isn't that only right? Doesn't that only sound right to you? If you were with me in Sudan and the watchman sounded the alarm, you ran and you were safe. But if he didn't sound the alarm and you didn't run and you weren't safe, wouldn't you be a little bitter? Wouldn't you be a little upset at the watchman whose job was to blow the trumpet? Brothers and sisters, that's all we're talking about. Jesus Christ has given his church a trumpet. It's called the gospel. And he says, judgment is coming. Warn them. That's all we got to do. We don't got to convert people. All we got to do is warn them. All we got to do in love and care and concern and prayer and study and proclamation and say, listen, whether you like it or not, whether you're going to believe me or not, judgment's coming. This is, hey, and once you do it, you can say, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Why is it that there's judgment coming? Well, I better not tell them. They won't like that. I better not wake them up. They may be in a bad mood. The fear of man is a snare, the Proverbs say. But those who trust in the Lord shall be safe. Listen to what God says. He goes on in verse 7. He says, so you, son of man, I have made a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear the word of my mouth and warn them of me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, then the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Note this. Here's the wicked, exactly what we're dealing with. The wicked man. God says if he dies in his state, he's going to hell. He's going to die in his wickedness, and his iniquity is going to take him away. And I'm going to require his blood at your hand. That's what he tells Ezekiel. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Like it or not, church, there is an obligation, a burden laid upon us, a debt that we owe to the world to preach the gospel. And as being filled with the love of God and the heart of God, it's only right that we would say, yes, yes, Lord, this is what we want to do. We care enough about people's souls to say, I'm going to blow the trumpet. I'm going to blow the trumpet. I'm going to sound the alarm. I'm going to declare Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you'll receive Him and take Him. He can save you from sin. Or we're going to just close our eyes and just watch the multitudes perish in hell with no hope, with no witness. Brothers and sisters, there are people groups right now on the face of the earth who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and never will unless somebody goes, that's a fact. They never will. There are people that have died without ever hearing the gospel. You say, what happens to them? I don't know. We'll see what happens in heaven. I don't want to find out. Jesus said, go and share. Paul the Apostle said, if they don't hear, they won't be saved. Brothers and sisters, understand this. It's not a little side issue. And I've told you hundreds of times that missions isn't my passion, it's God's. And I'm passionate for God. And if I want the heart of God, I'm going to have the heart of God. And the heart of God is missions. And it's not about so much, let's go to this tribe or that. Yes, yes, that is true. But listen, it's about start here. It's about being a Christian. It's about let's open up our eyes and see the calling of God in our lives. Our calling is to be a witness to the world. It's around you. You don't need to go across the sea to see it. But I'll tell you what, once God grabs your heart, once He shows you're in a sharp break, your heart's going to be broken when you hear about a people group. You know, we hear about people groups perishing. What does it do to you? Well, that's too bad. Well, that's a bummer. We go on our way. We don't care. There's something wrong with me. I don't have God's heart. God's heart's broken. God's heart's stirring His church. God's heart's laying on people's hearts. Go after them. God gave us a commission, church. We don't need to be condemned. This is the joy of the Lord, serving. There's no greater place than the will of God. We don't need to be burdened. Oh, no, I got to do this. Listen to that attitude. I got to do this. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry to trouble you with salvation and hell. You know, I'm sorry. You know, God has to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're so sensitive and you can't handle that. Listen, you're going to heaven. They're going to hell. What does it matter? You're going to heaven. Paul says, the light afflictions which I suffer but for a moment are working for a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. What's Paul saying? He's saying, in the midst of my gospel preaching, there's afflictions. There's persecutions. There's distresses. There's all kinds of trouble that comes upon me daily. But it's all worth it. Because I'm secure in Christ. Because I've got a destiny of heaven. And because I'm fulfilling the heart of my God. Brothers and sisters, if this is a burden to me, another mark on the chart, oh, I got to do that. I got to read my Bible, pray. I got to fellowship with others. Oh, now I've got a witness. Great. There's something wrong with our heart. Forget about even obeying this stuff. We need to get on our face. We need to cry out to God and ask God to change our heart. Rend our heart, not our garments. We need revival. If my heart's not broken for the lost, it's a clear evidence of a hardness that has calloused my heart. The Church of Thessalonica, we've been studying them. They were persecuted, weren't they? Greatly persecuted. They were a church in many afflictions. In fact, listen to what Paul says, and it ties into our text in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. It says there, and now listen to this, in verse 4, it says, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for the gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. Listen to verse 8. Listen to verse 8. Hear it. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. The word sounded forth is as a trumpet blast. Blow the trumpet, watchmen. The word of the Lord has sounded forth as a trumpet blast. The word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that you do not need, so that we do not need to say anything. Understand what verse 8 is saying. Paul the Apostle is praising the church for their willful surrender to the call of God in the midst of affliction. He is saying to the church, church, we are thankful to God for you, and we have heard that the word of the Lord is like a watchman blowing a trumpet, declaring, as a trumpet blast goes out, the watchman is declaring. And he is letting the world know. You're letting the world know that Jesus Christ is the Savior, not only in Macedonia, that was their town, that was their, if you would, county. And really for our time in there, because of their traveling and their ability to get around, more of their state. And also in Achaia, 300 miles away, which is a long, long distance. And in every part, a little church in Thessalonica that was greatly persecuted and afflicted was a church in the midst of their trials. Church, missions isn't my burden. I hate missions. I've told you that before. My flesh hates missions. I hate Sudan. I hate 110 weather. I do. I hate thinking about going where there's guns. And I really hate the idea of snakes, especially cobras. And they're all over the place. Joe Horner's telling me he needs a knife because he's going to cut one's head off. And I said, you're crazy. That's great. I'll get you a knife. Just keep me a long distance away from it. This guy's nuts. He's telling me how you lay them out. It's crazy. I hate snakes. I hate not having ice cubes. You think it's a big deal. You don't think that's a big deal. You come with me. I hate feeling dirty and hot all the time, no matter what you do. If it's 3 a.m, you're still hot. I hate it. I hate leaving my family. I hate leaving my comforts. I hate leaving my beautiful shower or a bucket of water. I hate it altogether. But I love God. And I've heard the call of God to be a Christian. That's it, to be a Christian. Am I called to move to Sudan and start a church? No. Not from my understanding so far. But I'll tell you what, I've heard the call of God to be a Christian. And to be a witness. But you know what? That starts here. Forget Sudan. You're my witness. It starts here in my heart. It starts when I'm in prayer and studying the Scripture and saying, Lord, I just want to be surrendered to you. God says, okay. Lord, I want your heart. God says, I want to pour it in you. But you've got to understand it's going to take death to yourself. You've got to let go. You've got to let it down. You've got to be willing to give up everything you are and everything you have. Jesus said, listen, if you do not hate father, mother, brother, sister, wife, and children, and yea, yes, even your own life also, you cannot be, hear the words, you cannot be my disciple. heavy. That's pretty clear. If you're not willing to lose all, you cannot, he says, be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. And then he says, count the cost. Count the cost of discipleship. And he says, if you're not willing to forsake all at the end of the chapter, you cannot be my disciple. Listen, who are we, disciples of Jesus Christ or not? There are qualifications. I can't be his disciple if I'm not willing to give it up. You've got to understand, the Bible teaches something different than you're seeing today in the modern day church. You've got to understand what the Bible teaches is truth. What we see today in modern day church, we need to check it with the Bible. We need to make sure it's truth. The Bible says examine to see if you're in the faith. If today you're saying, hey, you know, you are out of control, Pastor. I don't like the way you talk, you know. And I disagree with you. That's fine. But you know you're disagreeing with the Word of God. You're not disagreeing with me. Again, this isn't my message. It's God's. It's God's. You search the Scriptures. These are issues we need to really deal with in our own hearts. Now, I understand. I hope you do. God's grace abounds to my unsurrendered heart. What for? So it can stand surrendered? No. It abounds so that it can be surrendered. God isn't condemning us. God wants to change us. God wants to do revival in our hearts. And God wants to do revival in our world. And God has chosen us to do that. Will we surrender our hearts and lives? Start this way. Pray for your unsaved family members. Beseech the throne of God. Pray for the people you come in contact with on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. Pray for them. Co-workers, you just start there. You don't need to say, well, I can't handle all that idea of Africa. Yeah, nobody said you're going to Africa. Nobody even said you're going to the mission field. One step at a time. If God calls you there, He'll show you, and you're not going to be bummed out. Every time I'm anywhere on the mission field, I'm not, oh, I hate this place. I'm not bummed out. I love it because I'm filled with the Spirit of God and in the will of God. You start with the simple. Start with the small. Begin to pray. Begin to stand in the gap. Let God change your heart. Don't go out in the flesh and say, I've got a witness now. You're going to hurt the gospel. Let God burden your heart. Let God deal with you. It's going to come a point. Then you got to step out, yes. But you do it after you've surrendered. You don't do it in bitterness. You don't do it grudgingly. Oh, I've got a witness. I'm a Christian. I'm Pastor Trent. Condemned us this morning. Boy, man. That's not the issue. The issue is a heart that pants after God. A heart that craves their God. That wants to see their God and that wants to walk with their God. It's an issue of intimacy. It's an issue of fellowship and relationship. It's an issue of being a Christian, being a child, and He being my Father. Those that preach the gospel, do they go through it? You bet. Are they terrified? Absolutely. Be not deceived. Don't think, well, man, that guy, you see him, man, he's always passing out tracts preaching the gospel. Boy, wish I was like that. Why aren't you? Because you won't. You think he goes, oh, this is easy. I wake up every morning thinking, how many people can I talk to today about the Lord? Not a fear in my heart, not a problem, no worries. No. I've seen guys go out of their house just terrified to see light because they know that when they come across somebody, God has put a burden in their heart, preach the gospel, and they're so scared they don't know what to do. And then they turn and cry out to God and find the strength. But let me tell you, there are true fears and terror in our heart because we are weak people. And that's why we need the power of God. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. And it says, and they prayed, and the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. They spoke the Word of God with what boldness? There was a boldness that came upon them they didn't have before. Brothers and sisters, you want boldness? We need to assemble ourselves together and pray. I invite you out to our Saturday night all-night prayer meetings. We're having a great time. And I'm telling you, we're getting pretty close to the foundations of this building being shaken. I tell you what, it's stirring up my heart. It's filling me with boldness. 1 o'clock last night, I was witnessing some lady at a drive-thru down at, you know, Jack in a Box. It does it to you. It does. We need it. We need to be stirred up. We need to be encouraged. We need to recognize, though, we've got to go forward. Let God be magnified and God be glorified. Church, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Pray for us as we go. And be blessed as you worship the Lord. And I'll see you again, God willing, for His name and for His glory. I tell you, let God grab a hold of you. And the next time I see this church, oh, I pray it's so lit on fire, it makes me look like a weak Christian. Please, church, seek Him because He's there to be found by you. And He's there to touch you and minister to you. Get on your face. Cry out to God. Study the Scripture. And know that God is real. You want Him? Well, He wants you. He picked you. Chose you. He loves you. He's your dad. Call out to Him while He be found. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the word of Your grace, which is able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among all those who are sanctified in You. This word this morning, Lord, has the ability to build us up. God, build Your church. Jesus, I can't build it. You didn't call me to build it. You said, on this rock, I shall build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Build it, O Lord. Build Your church. Add to Your church. Sanctify Your saints and save the sinners. God, we ask that You would be magnified. You would be glorified. The word of Your grace this morning has ability to build. Lord, to give us an inheritance among all those who are being sanctified by it. Lord, that we could enter into the joy of the Lord and hear, good and well done, my good and faithful steward, servant. God, You've made us stewards. God, help us to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, as though God was pleading in us to be, as though Christ was pleading us to be reconciled to God on behalf of Christ. God, I pray our hearts would plead, our hearts would break, and that Your name would be magnified and glorified. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.